Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Cowboy Wisdom NLP Radio on the Cowboy Wisdom Radio Network. Today you're in for a very special treat. I have Miguel Hurst with her, and her book is Velabrera, and it's written in a young adult, and this call is coming. Michelle lives in South Africa. So anyway, this is an international call, and I want to welcome Michelle to the show. And before we get going, tell people how you come about to write your book, Velabrera.
How I come about to write it? Well, I just sit down and write, Rob. I'm one of those people that's lucky that I just sit down and it came to me. I didn't have to sit down and research it or anything like that.
And you know something, a lot of people have that talent and don't even know it. But anyway, I've got some of the book in front of me, and I've been reading it, and it's a very interesting book. And there's also a chance that this book might be put into a screenplay, isn't there? A movie.
Well, I hope so.
Anyway. Go ahead.
Which chapter is that, Rob?
I just, for the show, I just printed out pages 100, 150, 200. I just printed out so people can get a taste of the book. But when you said you just sat down and wrote the book, and that is the way writing happens. It just comes to you. But how do you think people fear sitting down, trusting their abilities to write?
How do people?
Yeah, how do people sit down and fear their ability to write a book rather than just sit down and write it? We're having trouble with Skype today.
I'm not sure I understand the question, Rob, if you can just rephrase it maybe.
You know, when you sat down and you said you wrote your book, okay? You just
yes.
sat down to write the book. And you just wrote it without any apprehension, right?
Yes.
How do you think people have that apprehension within them and afraid to sit down and write a book just like you did?
Well, others may fear it in a sense that they might put a lot of themselves into a book. And they might be scared people might see a lot of themselves in a book where it might be a sort of a bio instead of just a story, straightforward story. And then they might also fear the rejection that might come along with it. Where in my case, I wrote the book for myself, in a sense. It was just a story for myself to start out with. And then Amy came along. And now it's no longer just for myself. It's for the public as well.
And Amy
that's
is,
how that came about.
And that's what I was talking about. You got to write it and then allow it to take form. Into the ether of the universe. Isn't that the truth there?
Yes.
And anyway, I want to read something from the book because I was reading this. And this one kind of, and it sounds so real life. That's what the part about this book is amazing. Rain frowned at my look. This is page 100. I should have probably printed out. But anyway, rain frowned at my look. I mean it the way a guardian would refer to his charge. Taking his arm from my waist, he gracefully put some distance between us. He just done it. Rain responded to my thoughts. How did he do that? Peace be, princess. It's a pleasure to make your acquaintance. I had to respond to this river guy. But I was too busy meeting Rain's frown with my own. You are being rude, Alchihira. Rain's impersonal tone slammed me in the gut and turned Rain's cool expression and focused on the newest character being thrown at me. Hi, I groaned. Sorry, peace be, river. Call me Aslan. I was so deep in thought I didn't realize I gave him the wrong name. How is that so real life? To me, that's very real life. And you can put in there. So tell us more about the two characters in the book.
Well, Rain and Alkira. Yeah. The way I've written them, well, the way I've written the book actually is not a dialogue, she said, he said way. And that's where the real life scenario might come across to you. And that's also Andy Kner again coming in, what she loved about the book. I've actually played it out in my head as two people actually talking to each other, the screenplay as such. And if you had to read articles previously published, Rain, I pictured Ian Somerhalder, the actor, actually playing out Rain in my head. And Alkira, I didn't actually have an actress for it, so that one was a bit hard. I actually had him playing out the roles in my head, and that's why it was real art. It wasn't just a book being written, but actually a screenplay as such. That's why it might come across as real life to you, and not just dialogue being said in a book.
You know, that's very enterprising. That's an enterprising energy you have there. That's very creative and doing this. But there's more in this book. And a feeling of pure exhaustion settled over me. I need to be somewhere else right now. With one last nod, I walked away as fast as I could. That is so human. That is so real today. This book is almost like you took the public and put it in the book. Would you say that? To me, it is.
A lot of feelings and a lot of real-life scenarios I have put into the book is nature as such. People tend to just live past everyone these days. They don't stop to actually just pause and say, how are you? When someone says, how are you? They don't actually wait for the response to hear how the person is. It's just fine, I'm fine. And they walk on. It's not a fact of actually listening to the person next to you. And I've actually taken a lot of that into the book. And if people had to read the book, you'll learn that through the book, that this is about people actually getting to know each other, really getting to know each other and getting to know nature as such. And there's a lot of facts taken into the book as well. It's not just a fantasy. There's a lot of fact in the book as well.
Well, you know, you just said something real profound there when you say, how are you, somebody? And they just keep walking. They say, fine, in whatever tone or whatever kind of day they're having. That really is today's tonality in real life, isn't it?
Yeah. People just live past each other. They don't have a second to just share a smile or just brighten each other's day up anymore.
And the book is available. Vela Brea is available on Amazon.com. It's a Kindle book. And it's also at PreciousGemsPublishing.com. And Michelle has more books, but this is something that I found absolutely astounding in the book. Eventually, I found the path and followed it for what I felt like an hour. My body was aching, something terrible by then. As I rounded a bend in the forest, I walked directly into the floor. I was so happy to see her that I didn't notice how her face completely drained of color. She looked at me up and down by aisle. And what happened to you? You were there, I answered. Ella Renda did all that. And here's the thing. That is just like somebody walking down the street today and the way real life is. And I probably ain't doing these words justice. I'll admit that. But when you sat down to write and you wrote this book, how did you get it to be so real? You must have a very active imagination.
Yes, spend half my day dreaming and the other half writing. That's one thing my family actually complains about. Half of the day, I'm in another world. if it wasn't for my imagination, I don't know where I'd be.
Now, there's a talent for writing that not everybody has, but you can expand into it. Half the day dreaming, because that's where writing is. It is in the dream. But that's just, but that is just a dawning reality, expanding a fluent, magnanimous relationships in the world. So actually, your dreaming is your book. But how is that also in your real life?
Well, Rob, I've learned one thing. In the day and age we live in, you have to dream to survive. Life isn't all pretty out there anymore, and you need to learn how to really look at a sunset and how to look at a full moon in order to see the beauty still in this world we have. And that's where the state of dreaming comes in. Not a fact of you actually dreaming. You need to see the green in the leaves. You need to see the actual beauty in sunset. And that's the world of dreaming I'm referring to. And you need to bring that into your writing. It's not just your writing all blood and horror as a piece in Balbora to see. You need to bring in the beauty as well. And that's what I'm referring to.
Michelle Ann Hurst is my guest. Hurst is my guest with Valabria. Dreams and Shadows on Amazon.com. I want to read another particle. Who are the chosen ones? I don't know. My words were a mere whisper. She issued a sarcastic laugh. You foolish girl. You will tell me. Little black spots begin to fly in the front of my eyes. It says, go to hell. I spoke last words just as the darkness I'd be praying for finally came. I was unsure how long I'd been out, but I woke up on the floor with every part of my body screeching in agony. I couldn't move a muscle. I thought we were never going to wake up again. Welcome back. Just hearing Ada's voice and had me wishing I never opened my eyes. Come. You must eat and drink something before you faint again. A plate with something mushy on it closed in on me. As Carter also sat down a half a glass of water for me to take. For some really silly reason, I held on to the faint hope of being saved. Now, it's very astute when I can read and read the words without trying to guess what they are. But it's a very pretty written book. But it's also a very interesting book. And when somebody sits down to read your book, how do you feel what they would get out of it and they could escape their daily life for a while?
What would they get out of it?
Yeah.
Right in the beginning of the book, there's a little sentence I wrote. Hope is the heartbeat of the soul. And once you've read the whole book, that's what I want you to get out of it. Hope. Just that there is still hope in this world that we live in. But if they're going to sit down and read it just for the day, that they get to escape it a little bit, just in a world, into a world of fantasy.
But really, isn't real life a fantasy? It's according to the way we look at life.
Barbara, is this real life fantasy? In a way, yes. In a way, if you're looking at the way we live life now and the way I've written it, half of it would be fantasy, the other half isn't.
Well, so half of it's reality and half of it is your intention is to live your desired life.
Yes, half of it I have taken out of real life. So half of Balbora that you're going to be reading really happened and is basically real. I've just basically woven it into a book. But the other half of it is fantasy, obviously. We don't expect us to go anytime soon. And there's 10 chosen ones. And Alkira doesn't exist, sadly.
Well, yeah.
And Sid doesn't exist, sadly.
And the call-in number, if you choose to call in, is 718-305-6548 to talk with Michelle. But Michelle, in life, to really get your intentions and get your desired life and get everything, your intentions manifest in your life, half of that is a dream and is fantasy, because you got to change the imprints in your subconscious mind. And that's what this book does. This book has a very pretty title. How'd you come up with the title of this book? That's what I want.
Balbara was quite easy to come up with. It's the first supercontinent of Earth as such. And I went back to basically a perfect Earth before humans came along and imprinted their handprints on Earth. And that's where I came along with Balbara. That's before we came along and we were there. So Balbara is before we were there. And that's basically, Baal is the Baal crater in South Africa. And Bara comes from Australia. And if you put the two together, it's Balbara and the supercontinent that Earth had millions, billions of years ago. So that's where that one came from.
It's a very, very... a very interesting title, and once you start reading in the book and stuff like that, but for you, seeing it published and actually getting to see the book in print, what did that do for your self-esteem and for you?
That did a lot for my self-esteem. That was my dream come true. When Amy told, well, Amy Ligner from Precious Gems Publishing. I'm just saying Amy the whole time. No one knows who Amy is. When she told it's going to be published, that was a dream come true. And that's just basically opened a lot of doors for me to move forward and type up the next one in the series, because Barra is going to be one of three books. And since then, life has been very busy for me. And, yes, it's been a dream come true. I'm still trying to get over the shock of it. And it's been 3 months since. But, yes, I've learned a lot. I've met a lot of interesting people. And the journey is only beginning now for me and for everybody on Volbra as such.
How's your husband and your family proud of you and really backing you on this? And how is that important to you?
They're very happy for me, and they're backing by giving me the time I need to write the other books. A very quiet family. So they're basically happy supporting me and by giving me the time I need to actually spend with everybody in America. That's by letting me stay up late, sleep late in the morning, because my times don't correspond with America. I'm 8 hours ahead of you guys. So I stay up until 2-3 in the morning, and then I get up a bit later than they do. So they give me a lot of patience from their side.
But the support of the family and your husband and your kids, that's also very, very important, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. A writer's life is very different from anybody else's life. You spend a lot of time behind a closed door, and as such, writing, to a person who's married to a writer, actually is a widow. You half of the time don't see your spouse. And you need to be very supportive there. But then again, I'm very lucky with my husband. He's got his own hobbies. So we actually quite a good match there.
Well, that's good. And Michelle lives in South Africa, which they have safaris, and I'd love to go out and see the lions and all the animals in their real habitat. But getting back to the book here, on page 300, you have to go to Amazon.com and buy the book and read between 1 and 100, 1 and 100, 300. Carter, grab me by the shoulders. Don't say it. I beg you, Elkira, do not say it. His eyes bore into mine as the final words formed on my lips. A soul for soul, I will say, so he can go. No, Carter shook me violently. What have you done? I do not understand what has happened. Alandra's worried voice was stifled. Carter's arms pressed me against his chest. She swapped herself for the child. She cast a spell, binding herself to earth, giving the child free passage to Valabrea. You have doomed sister with your request, Elaranda. Carter's voice dead, just like the first time I met him. Now she hasn't. I was damned to begin with. I pushed Carter gently away, trying to think of only of here and now. And how is that just like in real life? You got to only think of here and now.
Yes, to only think of here and now. And sorry, I was drawn into peace, trying to think what you're going to ask next.
I knew I
was not a question I expected. That question threw me totally now.
Let me rephrase the question. How?
Yes.
What brought that? Let's just say that little two paragraphs there, or that little piece of writing, brought that to your mind, and how does that really interact with your life today? Because everything in life is here and now.
Well, what brought that piece about? Well, at that point in time, I wasn't sure if Alkira was going to live. So that was kind of up leading to a might have been death scene. But at the point of no return, I decided differently. How does that differ to the now and then? Well, if you read the book a little bit further on and into the second book, the actual child was safe, is all innocence, and into the second book you'll learn that she holds a little bit more hope than child. But with the year now, that's all about getting back to the hope. Everybody needs a little bit of hope.
It's one thing about a book, you can change it to make it come out the way you want it to.
Is hope. Everybody just goes about their day, the normal humdrum, and they just don't have hope anymore. It's just their normal work, get back home, eat, sleep, go to work, get back home, eat, sleep. There's no hope for an actual future anymore. And I was caught up in that, the corporate ladder, for 11 years. And then something happened that actually gave me the option to write, and I always wanted to do that. And then I wrote Barbara. And that's brought a lot of hope into my life, especially with Amy coming along and getting future.
Skype is kind of bouncing in and out of here. And, you know, next time we do this, we're going to do it with a phone and three-way it in. And I apologize because Michelle has been bouncing in and out. But, you know, you can listen to your voice, Michelle, and see the power, but you also can hear the talent in your writing come out in your voice and how you articulate your answers back. So when people read your book, the Valabrea, if I don't quit murdering that name, but anyway, if they read Valabrea, you will actually get to escape, but yet there's life learning lessons in there for people to expand by. So it's a very well-written book. So
say that again.
What's that?
Sorry, what did you say last?
I said it's a very well-written book, and you're very talented. And your talent comes out in the book. And, you know, it's also a life-expanding book because it's teaching people that if they choose to sit down and dream, they can write a book. Would you say?
Yes, definitely. Before I sat down and wrote Volbara, I taught in my life. And I have no courses behind my name. I never thought I would be able to. If you had to look at my grades in school, you'd laugh yourself into a silly eye. So actually, anybody can sit and write a book, as long as you've got Amy to edit it for you when you finish.
Amy?
As long as...
Go ahead. Amy is the editor and publisher at PreciousGemsPublishing.com, and she's very talented.
Yes.
So anyway...
She's been on your show before, so anybody... You were saying...
And she is very talented, but also you have to have the talent get it to the where you have it, and your imagination really shows in this book and the way it's written and how you express yourself. So, if you could give people one advice about writing and open their mind to writing, what would it be, Michelle?
Say that again, please, Rob.
If you could give people some wisdom in writing a book, what would it be for them to do to begin to write their first book?
Well, they firstly have to be honest with themselves. You won't be able to sit down and write a book if you're going to be hiding behind a lot of facts. You have to let your imagination go free, and you can't be shy about it. You're going to have to sit down and write the book for yourself. Not what you think other people would like to hear, but what you would like to read. That, firstly, is the golden rule. And then don't worry about mistakes. Write the book and just write it out. And then, like Amy said, walk around with a piece of paper and a pen, because ideas is going to hit you when you're busy cooking or driving or in the work world. And then you can write and jot them down. Like I said, don't worry about the mistakes, the grammar or the spelling. And just get a good editor, someone that will be able to turn your book into something fabulous once you're finished with it. And the only person I can recommend for that is Amy. So between your imagination, you have to trust your imagination. And don't be scared to go and do some research about what you're writing. Next to Wikipedia and Google, that's your time and my imagination. You have to start dreaming. If you can't dream, you're not going to be able to write.
But if you don't dream, you really don't live. But anyway, I like the title, Visions and Shadows. That is so realistic because you got shadows you hide behind and you visions you want to see. And it's really it's a fiction book with a lot of reality to it, in a way.
It is.
And we're down
it
to
is.
1 minute. The book is Bella Brea, Visions and Shadows by Michelle Ann Horst. And it's on Amazon.com, PreciousGemsPublishing.com. And we're down to 1 minute, Michelle. Tell the people what it was like when you saw it was published.
Well, it was amazing, truly amazing. It was an enchanting experience. You have to have your book published to experience it, Tom. Rob, that's the only way you're going to be able to feel it. And basically, that's it. Thank you for this experience of the radio show as well.
And you're very welcome. You're a very good guest. You're very articulate. But the only way you get the experience is sit down and write it and let go of the fears, wouldn't you say?
Thank you, Rob.
Anyway, thank you. And Skype kind of jumps around on us, and I'm going to close out the show. I'm Rob Wilson, and I want to thank my guest, Michelle Ann Horst, author of Bella Brea, And I want to welcome and thank everybody for listening.